Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan anila nijone go shavotya, nijone go shavotya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Way. Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Oh!
music from the drum Blackstone off their Kenyon Records CD. The name of that song was Honoring Children's Song. In most every Native society, children are loved and well cared for. We Indigenous peoples appreciate young people, knowing their spirit will grow into becoming the people of the next generation. They, in turn, will raise the generation after them, and in this way, our cultural, spiritual lifeways are linked from our ancestors to present and future generations. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kitteshi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Today's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices edition is Program 1 of Wolf Mountain Radio's series entitled Defending Socioeconomic Justice and Human Rights. One definition of justice from the dictionary is fairness or reasonableness, especially in the way people are treated and how decisions are made. Yad Kitteshi Native Center expands this definition to include our Mother Earth and all life. This concept of treating each other and the biosphere with dignity and respect is the basis of Yad Kitteshi Native Center's mission. It is the central focus of most every Wolf Mountain Radio program. There are many aspects of justice, legally and morally. Many justice issues are interconnected. Examples include cultural, racial, ethnicity, social, religious, gender, age, geographic, professional work status, educational levels, economic, energy, and environmental. Justice issues should also be considered as universal human rights, as well as the right of nature to be protected around the globe. Today's program features voices of students, youth, and community activists. They are conversations with young people who are working to create a better and more equitable world. Yad Kitteshi Native Center is very appreciative of their willingness to share their views on a variety of subjects. These interview topics are as diverse as are my program guests. What they all have in common is the sincerity and dedication to fight for justice. These interviews took place during the 5th annual Encuentro in Immokalee, Florida, a poor rural farm town in southwest Florida near where Yad Kitteshi Native Center is located. Encuentro is a Spanish term for gathering. Every year, Yad Kitteshi Native Center has the privilege to attend a national gathering of young people who are dedicated to standing up for poor people's dignity and human rights. The annual Immokalee Encuentro is hosted by the Student Farm Worker Alliance. SFA is a decentralized network of diverse organizations and individuals working together for justice. The primary focus of SFA is being an ally to the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, CIW. Most Wolf Mountain Radio listeners have heard many of our programs about the Coalition's efforts to defend themselves from social and economic exploitation by America's agribusiness food industry. The poverty and oppressive working conditions faced mostly by immigrant labor who harvest much of the fruits and vegetables Americans eat is nothing less than modern-day slavery. It is, as journalist Edward R. Murrow's classic documentary film title says, a harvest of shame. The grim reality of agricultural workers in farm fields and in food packing plants is little known by the general public. Abusive working conditions, payment levels below a fair living wage, exemption from labor rights, lack of safety regulations, police harassment, racism, substandard housing, and serious environmental health problems are the types of injustices occurring in Immokalee and around the world. These issues are very important to Yacht Kiddushin Native Center because, as most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, I, like many other Native peoples in the world, have been a farm worker in North America not too long ago, before immigrant labor. Much of the farm work was done by Native Americans. I grew up harvesting blueberries, cranberries, potatoes, apples, and working in horticulture. I remember working long hours for very little money. In those days, racism and lack of respect by the growers was common, as it still is, towards the mostly Central American and Haitian workers who are the predominant labor force. Many of us American Indians were, like present-day workers, exposed to and made sick by agrochemical fertilizers, herbicides, and insecticides. This is one of the reasons why I became a professional ecologist, in order to fight against the poisoning of the people, land, and waters. This is a serious example of what many call environmental racism. Yacht Kiddushin Native Center's support of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers since its inception in 1995 has introduced me to many fine people, workers, students, activists, community organizers, interfaith clergy, some members of the media, and even a few politicians who have an interest in these issues. Networking with people who care about injustice, especially the many students and young people across the country, gives me encouragement to continue my activism. I hope my conversations with the different program guests you will hear will likewise motivate you to fight for justice and human rights. The issues, campaigns, protest actions, and achievements of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers and the Student Farm Worker Alliance allies are well described on both CIW and SFA websites. Ways in which people can get involved and support this justice movement, as well as learning more about the struggle, I urge to visit CIW and SFA's websites, which are www.ciwonline.org and www.sfalliance.org for more information. I also want to remind Wolf Mountain Radio listeners that Yacht Kiddushin Native Center has produced many Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices radio programs about CIW, agribusiness, and farm worker struggles that can be heard anytime on the internet at www.radioforall.net. While today's program conversations include CIW issues, since Enquanto participants are in Immokalee in order to support the coalition, many of the views expressed by my guests encompass other serious topics, those of us who are concerned about the well-being of all life. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yacht Kiddushin Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. My first program guest is Mr. Hai Vo, representing the organization Real Food Challenge. The definition of real food, as described on their website, is food that is ethically produced with fair treatment of workers, equitable relationships with farmers, and humanely treated animals. It's food that is environmentally sustainable, grown without chemical pesticides, large-scale monocropping, or huge carbon footprints. Yacht Kiddushin Native Center certainly supports this philosophy of agriculture. The whole food principle mirrors the traditional farming, fishing, and herding methods of indigenous peoples throughout the world. It is a holistic system passed down from my Nichitunganiks, my ancestors, much of which is still practiced by tribal peoples today. It was an organic, sustainable life way that kept the land healthy. Native food systems are based on reverence for Mother Earth.
animals, plants, and aquatic life, which we consider our relatives, Kinon-Wantoklasin, as we say in my Wabanaki language, are protected by strict hunting and harvesting codes overseen by clan mothers. This is why native people, prior to colonization, were healthy and our tribal communities strong. It was abhorrent to indigenous peoples to hunt or harvest more than when needed for subsistence. No one in the village went hungry. Food was equally shared without greed. Real Food is a network of students, young people, and community allies across the country who promote the concept of real food. A major campaign of the movement is to increase the availability of real food on universities. This network has more than 300 colleges. The Real Food campaign, through student purchasing power, can influence society's food system and help bring about socioeconomic change to help agricultural and food industry workers. Real Food also believes they can help change agriculture for the benefit of local community-based farmers and area consumers. Yad Kadishi Native Center appreciates the Real Food's six core principles that guide the movement and their network. The details are described on Real Food's website, so I will just briefly paraphrase them now. 1. Real Food encompasses a concern for producers, consumers, communities, and the earth. 2. Real Food is part of a global movement for a better world. 3. Real Food, students and youth are a major focus and force. 4. Real Food partnerships, working with a range of stakeholders and allies to build a movement. 5. Real Food multiculturalism, dismantling oppressive ways and encouraging respect and cultural, racial, and gender diversity. 6. Real Food participatory inclusion, all voices respected, equally heard, and encouraged. It is now my pleasure to welcome Hai Vo to Wolf Mountain Radio. Hai is a 2009 graduate of the University of California at Irvine. Hai co-founded University of California's Irvine's Real Food Challenge. Of very special significance, Hai was the winner of the 2009 Brower Award. This special award, named after environmentalist David Brower, whom I knew well, honors young people who demonstrate activism and advocacy for environmental and social justice. Before I talk with Hai, I want us to listen to a short audio piece that features Hai Vo's vision of real food.
My greatest dream is to be able to sustain myself and the communities of people in the world as ecologically sound as possible. My name is Hai Vo. I'm part of the Real Food Challenge, and I organize youth around sustainable food systems here at the University of California, Irvine.
The Real Food Challenge is a national movement to increase the procurement of real food on college and university campuses. As co-founder of the Real Food Challenge at the University of California, Irvine, Hai spearheaded a trailblazing study of university's institutional food procurement and its effects on the food system and its myriad stakeholders.
Growing up, I was pretty husky, pretty heavy. I saw someone who was unhealthy, and I didn't know how that Hai at that time got to where he was. I put on my short shorts and my headband, and I started running. That really became the defining moment.
After enrolling at UC Irvine, Hai and another student submitted a research proposal aimed at better understanding how food is produced, processed, and distributed at the university.
Food wasn't part of my thinking until I came to UCI and started to fend for myself. What did it mean for me to eat? The Real Food Challenge at UCI looked into three things. We looked into research, what does a food system look like at a university? We looked at how do we educate our campus and local community about our food systems. And finally, we looked at how do we best advocate for a sustainable food system. We were going into our dining halls and kitchens, getting as much information as possible. You know, we would bring our notebooks, pens and paper. Sometimes we went to the freezers. We were using a new and evolving tool called the Real Food Calculator.
Developed by the Real Food Challenge, the calculator is a mechanism used to quantify real and sustainable food, determine the percentage currently served in an institutional food system, and assess improvement over time.
We found that UC Irvine procures about 10% real and sustainable food. The goal of the Real Food Challenge at UCI and within the National Real Food Challenge Network is to shift to 20% real food by 2020. That means providing the infrastructure for local food, local processors, an incentive for people to farm.
Under High's leadership, over 500 students, faculty, and community members formed the first ever Real Food educational series.
We had movie screenings, panels, dinners, going on farm tours.
He brought together his peers, he brought together different parts of the university, he brought together community groups, and he made people feel that what they were producing was a communal project.
I feel like humans are trying to optimize their life. I dream about the day where students and the communities around me are eating food that is ecologically sound, humane, fair, and as community-based as possible.
Hi, welcome to Immokalee, and welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio.
My name's Hai Vo, and I am a youth organizer around sustainable food systems. And I recently graduated at the University of California, Irvine in Orange County, Southern California. And I'm here at the 2009 Encuentro for the Student Farm Worker Alliance. I'm here representing the Real Food Challenge. And the Real Food Challenge is a national campaign, and it's a national network. The campaign is to increase sustainable food procurement on college campuses by 20% by 2020. And what we mean by real food is food that's ecologically sound, community-based, humane to animals, and most importantly, and what we're talking about this weekend, is fair. Food that's fair to farm workers, fair to growers, fair to people in general. The Real Food Challenge is a network over 300 universities and colleges throughout the nation and their allies, chefs, dining service managers, administrators, professors, and allies like the Student Farm Worker Alliance and CIW. Thank you.
Vietnamese music by Nguyen Thien Thuy. Nguyen performed that song on the classical instrument called a Don Tron. I featured her song to honor today's program guest, Hai Vo, whose parents fled from Vietnam. By the way, Hai, in the 1970s, with the U.S. Peace Corps, I volunteered at several refugee camps in Southeast Asia. I work mostly with the Mountain Hmong people. Hi, my next question pertains to differences between real food, a sustainable agricultural system versus agro-industrial agriculture. The dichotomy between real food and industrial agriculture is quite evident in the Third World. Most food production in America is now a large-scale enterprise and is not a sustainable system. Before you respond to this, I wish to provide a brief view of the subject based on my perspectives growing up in agriculture as well as being a Peace Corps volunteer. In my youth, I raised farm animals as a member of 4-H. Like many Native Americans of my generation, I was a farm worker harvesting various crops. My first 2 years of college, I studied animal husbandry and milked cows for work study. I also worked as a veterinary technician for a large animal doctor later in my career. My assignment with Peace Corps was as an agroforestry specialist. I mostly lived and worked with mountain tribes. It is interesting that their traditional farming was similar to my American Indian people's agronomy. Both cultures practiced crop rotation, allowed land to lie fallow so as not to exhaust soil fertility, used non-chemical pest management, and cultivated multiple intercropping for plant nutrition. Plant varieties of both peoples were biologically well adapted and suited to the particular soil, hydrologic, and microclimatic conditions. This was because each farming system developed over millennia to their place. I also feel each culture's spiritual beliefs of reverence, respect, in caring for the land ensured a healthy and sustainable agriculture. In addition, Southeast Asian farmers' use of plow animals, such as water buffalo, not only provided organic fertilizer to the land, but is a very important financial asset to the farmer. This traditional farming system is very different from the modern agro-industrial food production system. Many people are very concerned about the so-called scientific agriculture that have many bad ecological, economic, social, and human health impacts. In many ways, the modern agro-industrial system abuses land and water resources. The agro-industrial system is not sustainable or equitable to the vast majority of the world's people. This primarily monocultural or huge animal production factory system must be recognized for what it is, global agribusiness. Its primary purpose is profit. Agribusiness really doesn't care about the well-being of hungry people or improving the local economy. It doesn't care about farm workers making a fair living wage or people getting sick from toxic ag chemicals. Agro-industrial agriculture certainly doesn't care about protecting aquifers or the environment. The modern agro-industrial system operates through a synergy of government policies, financial institutions, trade contracts, and giant multinational agricultural sector corporations. The system's origin stems from the so-called Green Revolution technology developed in the mid-20th century. The Green Revolution was based on crop genetics, chemical fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, large-scale irrigation, and machinery. Village farmers were enticed by government technicians and businessmen to adopt this new farming system that made many promises. In a very short time, the promises turned into tragedy. Farmers went bankrupt, and many lost their land due to default on loans for high-cost agricultural chemicals and machine cultivators. Without these expensive chemical inputs, the genetic so-called high-yield crops didn't produce much of a harvest. There were many negative social, economic, and environmental consequences. Chemical residue in the fields affected soil health. This backlash resulted in great declines in production. Agrochemical runoff contaminated land and water, causing human health problems. Livestock also became sick and died. When farmers attempted to replant fields with their traditional varieties, the land would no longer yield much. Since the Green Revolution varieties were grown for the export market, the availability of food for local consumption declined while prices skyrocketed. Farmers were worse off than before the introduction of Green Revolution technology. In India, many farmers committed suicide. The Green Revolution was a result of a number of international agricultural research institutes, United Nations agencies like the UN Food and Agricultural Organization and UN Development Program, and the World Bank, IMF. Some people feel that many of the scientists of the Green Revolution had sincere intentions and hopes that their research could really ameliorate world hunger and malnutrition. Many of us, however, feel that multinational agricultural and chemical corporations' motivation for promoting the Green Revolution was solely to make money. The introduction of Green Revolution technology, especially in third world countries, encouraged large-scale corporate plantations of single crops that were primarily grown as money-making commodities. The latest chapter in this agricultural globalization scheme is biotechnology. It is a combination of big business and science with a pinch of greed thrown in. Biotechnology, based on genetic engineering, has created new genetically modified organisms. GMOs are agribusiness's most dangerous and scary development. Agricultural biotechnology goes way beyond plant and animal breeding by artificial selection and hybridization. Biotechnology, as defined by the UN Convention on Biodiversity, is, quote, any technological application that uses biological systems, living organisms, or derivatives thereof to make or modify products or processes for specific use, unquote. The introduction of foreign genes into crops and livestock to increase production and profits without regard to negative consequences is a very dangerous practice. Despite it being called green biotechnology, biotech is not healthy or safe. Agricultural biotech micropropagation and transgenics is a 21st century science many of us call Frankenstein food. Besides the many probable human health problems from genetic engineering and many serious threats to ecosystems, this industry is controlled by only a few huge multinational corporations. Companies like Archer Daniels Midland, Cargill, Monsanto, Syngenta, and ProAg wield tremendous economic and political influence over agricultural policy and food production throughout the world. The United Nations and many other international agricultural development organizations are aggressively pushing this new biotechnology that we know is unsustainable. In the United States over the years, many small family farms have been lost to corporate agriculture. Unfortunately, this trend continues. American agriculture is now mostly big business. Their large operations are more plantation scale or livestock factories. This conventional system relies more and more on large applications of chemicals and irrigation water. It is very damaging to the land. Runoff pollutes water resources. Farming decisions are now made more by corporate executives and commodity dealers than farmers. This is very different from the real food challenge that values community and democracy. A good example of this in the United States are large food corporations such as Aramark and Sodexo that the Dine with Dignity campaign focuses on, which we are meeting about at this encuentro. This is why the campaign for fair food is also such an important effort. Hi, would you please share your views?
There is truth to say that 95 to 98% of the agriculture here in America is conventional and industrial, using pesticides, herbicides, large scale. So what the Real Food Challenge is trying to do is understand the systems thinking of agriculture. Food service providers like Aramark and Sodexo and Compass, these companies that we're talking about this weekend, it's based on large-scale agriculture, large-scale conventional industrial agriculture and production of food. So when we're talking about systems thinking, these corporations are trying to create as many institutional accounts as they can, trying to make the economic bottom line, and oftentimes the economic bottom line, it reverts to profit over the environment, profit over animals, profit over communities, profit over people. Oftentimes what happens is these corporations and companies, and more so the practices and the procurement of these companies, are disregarding the environment. It's disregarding human rights, it's disregarding farm workers, it's disregarding humane treatment of animals.
Hi, in today's program introduction, I mentioned one of the great joys I have as a journalist is being able to meet and interview some very fine people like yourself who are working on very important campaigns and issues. It takes a lot of heart and commitment to be a justice activist. How do you feel about the level of awareness, concern, and involvement of young people on serious problems like globalization, agribusiness versus real food, human and civil rights, or protection of the environment, etc.? Do you feel that there are many people of your youth generation working for a better world?
Oh yeah, I see it around me all the time. There's a personal reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. There are so many networks out there. In the past 2 years, I've been going to trainings and conferences trying to meet youth who are interested in food. And it goes everything from pedagogy, from education. There are sustainable agriculture majors. There are majors in ethnic studies around food, food sovereignty, farm workers' rights. So there's education. There's actual production of food. We understand that less than 1% of the American population are farmers. And so what does it mean for our future supply of food here in America? And so youth are coming up to that challenge and trying to understand the production of food. There are youth trying to understand farm workers' rights and trying to ameliorate the abuses that have happened in the past 400 years.
Mama's kitchen got no dress code. You just come and eat your fill. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mama's kitchen got no color code. Come in your native skin. Hey, hey, hey. Mama's kitchen got no borders. It's everywhere you turn, 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 turn. Mama's kitchen got no dress code. Isn't it time we learn? Hey, hey, hey. No politics on Mama's menu, on the left page or the right. Food enough for each human belly, in the heart, within its sight. Mama's kitchen for the needy serves a piece of planet pie, yeah. And the spoils go to the greedy, spoiling horizon sky, sky high. On Mama's menu, on the left page or the right. Food enough for each human belly, in the heart, within its sight. Mama's kitchen got no dress code. You just come and eat your fill. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mama's kitchen got no color code. Come in your native skin. Hey, hey, hey. Mama's kitchen got no borders. It's everywhere you turn. Everywhere you turn, 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 turn. Mama's kitchen got no dress code. Isn't it time we learn? Hey, 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 yeah.
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yatkidichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yatkidichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yatkidichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yatkidichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yatkidichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yatkidichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yatkidichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yatkidichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yatkidichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yatkidichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yatkidichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yatkidichi Native Center, write to Yatkidichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yatkidichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
The music you heard prior to our Yatkidichi Native Center program identification was from singer-songwriter Rafi. The name of that song was Mama's Kitchen. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yatkidichi Native Center. My guest today is Mr. Hai Vo. Hai is a youth organizer with the Real Food Challenge. Sir, I wish to sincerely thank you for speaking with Wolf Mountain Radio's worldwide listeners. We are nearing the end of our interview time, so I have one final question. What are your thoughts about the future, especially in relation to the values of real food versus the agro-industrial system? I hope real food's holistic paradigm will be achieved. Yet, as mentioned earlier, the agribusiness complex of multinational corporations, financial institutions, trade agreements, and government policies are a powerful global monster. Their biotechnology, genetic engineering vision to many, is a form of biocolonialism. What are your thoughts about the future in view of your work with the Real Food Movement?
I do think about the future of how we will all eat, and in particular, I try to understand how youth will want to eat in future generations. I look at this transition from biocolonialism to biodiversity, because in the end, life is about biodiversity, and if you're taking seed or taking very specific breeds of food and monopolizing that, or creating just one type of food, for example, in America, that's soy, that's corn, that's very specific grains, and genetically altering that into things that we as eaters think we should be eating, that's a challenge in itself. So shifting from biocolonialism to biodiversity, because in the end, life is about all different types of cultures, species, ecosystems.
Hi, again, thank you for speaking with us on Wolf Mountain Radio and for the work you do with the Real Food Movement. I especially appreciate you as a young Asian American person of color being here at the Encuentro. Yad Kadishi Native Center urges people to learn more about and get involved in the Real Food Challenge. Please visit their website, www.realfoodchallenge.org. Yad Kadishi Native Center also encourages listeners to check out the Indigenous Environmental Network's website, www.ienearth.org, and the Indigenous Peoples Council on Biocolonialism's website, www.ipbc.org. Both sites have the IEN Right of Food and Security Statement posted. Yad Kadishi Native Center also suggests people read about the first Native Food Summit that was held in November 2002 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Information is posted on the website www.firstnations.org. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We shall conclude today's broadcast with a song by Hovaya Edwards off her Canyon Records CD entitled Morning Star. The name of her song is the title track, Morning Star. Please listen next week for another edition of Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kanawha Takwasin, to all of our relations.